This podcast was made possible by the Heising-Simons Foundation. The Center on Enhancing Early Learning Outcomes at the National Institute for Early Education Research presents Legacy 2030, Pioneers in Early Childhood Education. On this episode, we speak with Evelyn Moore, founder and executive director emeritus of the National Black Child Development Institute. Evelyn, what research and experiences influenced your career?
I grew up in a small rural town with a father and a mother. We didn't have much money, but we had a lot of values. My dad and mom really valued education. Now, when we get to theories and research, of course, I taught in the Perry Preschool Project in Ypsilanti, Michigan, I believe 1962. I was the youngest of the four teachers in the program. And I had been trained as a special education teacher, teaching mentally challenged children. So I came to Perry Preschool as a special education teacher. I had never taught 3 and 4 year olds. And I had never heard of development folks like Vygotsky, Piaget, Jerome Kagan, Ed Ziegler. I had never heard of these people, and these were the strong thinkers at the time in terms of how children grow, develop, and learn. And that seems to me very unfortunate that teacher training, that's what they do, they train you to teach. But they don't teach you the theories of learning. How do children learn? How do they develop critical thinking skills? That's what I really learned in the Perry Preschool Project. And has really helped to form my thinking. And in addition, I would just like to mention, I am an African-American woman. And when I came along, there were so many black kids in special education classes. And I thought to myself, this just doesn't seem logical that there are this many slow-learning black kids. So when I heard about the Perry Preschool Program, which was to take low-income black children, put them in a real rich learning environment, and therefore prevent them from going into special education, I jumped at the chance.
What is most important but least understood about early childhood education, particularly for disadvantaged children?
When I first started off in the 60s, they were calling these children culturally deprived. We've gotten a little bit more positive because now we call them disadvantaged. So we still look at them from a deficit orientation. So we're going to give them a head start. When you give people a head start, you don't plan on them beating you. So I think we should look at this nomenclature that we use because we're really talking about children who are growing up poor. They're low income. But that doesn't necessarily determine that you're going to be disadvantaged. Because I grew up poor, and that was no excuse not to learn to read, to write. And so I really believe in these children. And I think when you come into the classroom and you have this bias already because they're disadvantaged, you're not going to teach from the strengths of these children.
What lessons from the past have been lost or forgotten but need to be relearned?
So I think that's a great lesson that we've had all the research on brain development, and we know more about how important it is for children to become critical thinkers rather than rote learners. And so I think that we've come a long ways, but we have a ways to go because I would like to see children be in school all day. I would like to see us move past these half-day programs. I would like to know that every classroom has a really enriched environment. And when you have teachers that may look like the child but are not really invested culturally in the child, then you don't get good results. I think we need more men to come into our field. We need more money to pay people if we're going to have certification. Then people need to get paid at least comparable to public school personnel. And we're still not doing that.
Why did you found the National Black Child Development Institute nearly 50 years ago?
And at that time, Southern states would not take federal dollars for black children to be in preschool programs. And I was very concerned. I just always have had this commitment to my race because of the inequality in our history, you know. So I got involved with this group that was concerned about black children not getting federal dollars. And then some of these folks started thinking, well, what we need an organization to advocate for black children, preschool education. And Evelyn, would you come to Washington and help write a grant? And I said, sure, I'll come. I took a time off and came here and wrote a grant. And they got $150,000 from the Ford Foundation to start this national organization. Well, the next step was, who are we going to hire? Well, they wanted to hire a man, because a man can get things done, you know. So we searched, but men, you know, $150,000 on a grant that's for 1 year, you know, no one would take the job. So they turned to me and said, Evelyn, would you come temporarily and take this position and help us launch this organization? So I thought, well, you know, they're just talking about changing laws, and I want to work to get some laws changed. And so during the 70s, there was often an attempt to pass comprehensive child care bills and, you know, to keep Head Start running. And, you know, you get just more and more involved. And, of course, it was part of my passion for my people, you know, trying to improve education for black children. And I just have loved the journey.
What do you want people to know about teaching practice that may not be fully understood or appreciated?
We were really criticized at Perry in the beginning because we were doing directed teaching, and that was frowned upon by the field. Many people felt that children should guide their own learning. It was very controversial to try to say, I'm going to teach a three-year-old, because you should let them just play. But I think what the field has come to is now they call it intentional teaching. So they really use some of what we did back then and were criticized for. And actually, good preschool teachers have always done intentional teaching. They just don't like to call it directed teaching. But they set the classroom up. They determine what materials are in there. They set the housekeeping corner up for children to learn how to cook, changing solids into liquids and making Jell-O. And children are learning a lot about their world that they live in, even though it looks like play. I'm on the side of getting credentials, certified credentials. You know, I believe in competency, and people may have some natural abilities, but then you combine that with theoretical thinking and how children grow and develop, then, you know, you got something going there to me. So I want to see teachers like doctors. When you go to a doctor, they are certified to do certain things. And when you come to the preschool, we need to be certified to do certain things that we can ensure you that we are going to be doing with your child. The other thing I really think is that parents are being short shrifted in the movement. We don't talk a lot about parents. And Head Start has really been involved with parents over the years, but the public school preschool programs, to me, are not, as far as I know, engaging parents in really intensive ways that will help parents work with their children over the years. And so I would like to see preschool and parental involvement or parental visits, I would really like to see those two together. I don't want to see us separate preschool from the parent because, you know, the parent is the child's first teacher.
As a pioneer in early childhood education, what do you think we need to do to ensure a legacy for young children by 2030?
It's been a long struggle for us to get where we are with the field of early childhood education. When you talk to people now, they know what early childhood education is. And they don't think of it as childcare necessarily, you know, and I'll leave that one on the side. But I would just like people to know that it takes, you got to be in the struggle. It's a lifetime struggle. And it can, you know, only in the United States, we can get there. I mean, it was a time, you know, when black people were sitting in the back of the bus and, you know, went to segregated schools, and many people thought that could never be changed. But in the United States, you can change things. I really hope we can get away from this deficit model, because with preschool targeting disadvantaged children, we're still in the deficit model. And I would like to see us move away from that so that it becomes just like kindergarten, first, second grade. Everybody gets it. It's no big deal.
Thank you, Evelyn. The Center on Enhancing Early Learning Outcomes at the National Institute for Early Education Research would like to thank the Heising-Simons Foundation for its support of the Legacy 2030 Pioneers in Early Childhood Education Project. For more information about CELO's Legacy 2030 Project, visit our website, celo.org/celo-legacy-2030. Thank you.